23, verse 4, we see David in the valley of the shadow of death. He's talking to the Lord. He's in a spirit of prayer. Speaks of the Lord's presence with him in that valley. We've seen what that is. It's the special gracious presence of God. It's not merely the general omnipresence of the Lord. And we see the results of this presence, the results of this realized presence. The psalmist is very aware of this presence. He obviously feels this presence. We see the first result was that he had courage. I will fear no evil. And we've seen that all through the scriptures, the reason not to fear is God. That's the basis of not being afraid. That's the basis of not fearing. We also see that there was comfort. And the two go together. If you're fearful, you're not comfortable. If you're unafraid, you can be comfortable. So the two go side by side. It says, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Then he adds, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So the main idea with thy rod and staff is the comfort of God. God, of course, is a God of comfort. In 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 and 4, he is referred to as the God of all comfort. That is, all kinds of comfort. Who comforteth, present tense, ongoing, who comforteth us in all our tribulations. There's no specific tribulation. There's no limitations placed upon that. He comforteth us in all our tribulations. And he does in a way that only he can. So God's comfort, since he's the God of all comfort, is more than sufficient. More than sufficient for anything that the child of God might have to face. To comfort. People have different definitions of comfort. Some people merely, in a very narrow way, just look at comfort. If you tell them what they want to hear, you're comforting them. If you tell them what they don't want to hear, you're not comforting them. That's the Lord many times tells us what we may not want to hear. But he does so to bring us to the point of comfort. To comfort is to strengthen. And it's basically to strengthen the mind. It causes one to perhaps look at something differently. In this case, through God's lens. Strengthen the mind, you have new vigor in your spirit. It also means to provide some relief. Many today, of course, they, in their attempt to comfort, they provide very limited relief, relief that'll only last a few minutes. It's like a medicine. And that's not true. Comfort. To comfort is to courage, to encourage. So comfort, just like courage, finds its root in the person of God, who God is. That's why it's very difficult to comfort someone who's lost, because they know not God. But you still tell them of the Lord, because He is the source of comfort. You're not going to give much comfort apart from the Lord. So it finds its root in the person of God. By the person of God, we simply mean who God is. It's who God is. The comfort of God speaks to the fact that He is love, that He is tender. That doesn't mean, tenderness doesn't mean that He doesn't tell you what you may not want to hear. And He is compassionate. And the exercise of these are personal. He loves us personally. He's tender toward us personally. He's compassionate toward us personally. And it's available. So there is comfort in God. The psalmist declares that. That brings us to the need of comfort. Here the psalmist is in the valley of the shadow of death. No doubt that is a place of need. There is a great need because of who we are, because of the places and circumstances that we might find ourselves in. There is a great need of comfort. We need comfort often. The psalmist, throughout the Psalms, expresses his own frailty, his own weakness. In doing so, he expresses his need of comfort. We are frail. We are weak. Therefore, we stand in need of comfort. In Psalm 40, verse 17, and he repeats this phrase also, the one that we're interested in. He says, "But I am poor and needy." That's an admission of frailty. David is a king. He was not poor materially. He was not poor financially. Nor was he needy in those areas. So that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about his spirit. He's talking about who he is. He says, "I am poor and needy." He says the same thing in Psalm 70 in verse 5. He says it again in Psalm 86 in verse 1, and again in Psalm 109, verse 22. I am, that's a state of being. I am. It's not I was, I will be, I am. It's a state of being. I am poor and needy. That's always so. We are rich spiritually. God has blessed us abundantly. But in and of ourselves, we are poor and needy. That is, we are frail. So those words need to be taken in the context of, in and of myself, I am poor and needy. He is saying, in and of myself, I am defective. Is that not so of all of us? We all have some serious defects. We are defective. We are faulty. We are imperfect. We are weak. He is saying, this is who and what I am in and of myself. In and of myself, apart from God, I am poor and needy. Therefore, the need of comfort. So like the psalmist, every child of God needs to know this fact about ourselves. We need to know that. There can't be any doubt in our minds. People will say, well, that's not good self-esteem. Self-esteem's not the issue here. Reality's the issue. And the reality is we are poor and needy. We need to know that. We need to understand that. We need to believe that. That's the point that Jesus was driving home in John 15 when he said, without me, that's the context, without me, that is, in and of yourself, you can do nothing. We have to know that. We have to understand that. We have to believe that about ourselves. Anything else is self-deception. So that's our need of comfort. In ourselves, in every way, and at all times, this is our condition. This is our condition physically. I'm poor and needy. We're dying. It is our condition emotionally, in and of ourselves, again, apart from God. It is true of us spiritually. Now, all through the Psalms, we love the Psalms. We hear the psalmist say, I am, followed by a statement. I am. Followed by a condition. And it is due to that condition that we see, and that condition, it's due to that condition we need God's comfort. But that condition that follows reveals the frailty of our soul. Now, David was a spiritual man. There's no doubt about that. He was not a man without sin, of course. He had a lot of sin. He had a lot of faults, just like we all do. But he was a spiritual man. But you read the Psalms, and you read these words, I am. Recently, we're going to look at several Psalms here that have these two words, I am. I recently gave these Psalms to an individual to try to help them to understand that, yes, we can get into some terrible places. We can get into some depths that reveals our need of comfort. So let's go to Psalm 6. Again, there's several here. And this is by no means all the times that we hear the psalmist say, I am, and then followed by a condition. This is just many of them. There's others. In verse 2, and you'll notice reading through these psalms, that in every case, or almost every case, he soon mentions the Lord, because that the Lord was the answer to his condition. Always is. Verse 2, have mercy upon me, O Lord. Here's why. For I am weak. I am weak. Now, I don't believe as you read this, as you read Psalm 6, he goes on to say that his soul is sore vexed, painfully vexed. So he's not just talking generally, like I am poor and needy. He's not just in a general term saying I am weak. This was a time when his weakness was very real. He was feeling his weakness. Again, according to Paul, that's a good place to be. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. It's when you're weak that you, when you realize your weakness, that you depend upon the Lord. I am weak. O Lord, heal me. For my bones are vexed. So he's feeling this weakness in his physical body. And then he mentions his soul. So this is something he's feeling in his entire being. I am weak. Notice in verse 6, I am weary. I am weary. I am tired. I am worn out. I have nothing left. The reason is with my groaning all the night I make my bed to swim, I water my couch with my tears. My eye is consumed because of grief. It waxeth old because of all mine enemies. So I am weak. That needs comfort. I am weary with my groaning. Psalm 22, verse 14. I am poured out like water. Again, nothing left. Poured out, it's gone. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a posture. So you get the idea of what he is feeling. I am poured out like water. Again, there's nothing left. There's nothing left. People will say, and perhaps many have been there, there's just nothing left. And you're just drained. And this psalmist was there. I am poured out like water. That you need the God of all comfort. He's the answer. He's the answer. In Psalm 25. And again, these psalms should encourage us because we all have these feelings. We've all been there. Perhaps some are there. And it's not just isolated to ourselves. David, very spiritual man, had these feelings. Psalm 25, verse 16, turn unto me. Again, you see the answer is God, and have mercy upon me, and here's why, for I am desolate. I'm empty. I'm empty. I'm desolate. And afflicted, which speaks of pain and misery. Psalm 31, verse 9. He says, have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. I am in trouble. Again, I am in trouble. It's enclosed. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. So again, this is something that he feels in his entire being. Notice verse 22. I said in my haste, okay, this is in the context of I'm in trouble and how he's suffering. In verse 12, he says, I'm forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I'm like a broken, there's one we missed, I am like a broken vessel. But here in verse 22, I said in my haste, that is without giving it much thought, I said in my trouble, I said this in my condition, I am cut off from before thine eyes. That is, I'm separated from God. God doesn't even see me. There was a separation that he was feeling from God. Nevertheless, thou heard the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. He said in his haste, God doesn't even care. He was groaning that. And God is so merciful and so gracious that even the things we say in our haste, he hears. And he comes to our aid. Psalm 38, Verse 6, I am troubled. Now that's different. Before he said, I am in trouble. Here he says, I am troubled. That's a feeling. That's something he's feeling. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. Two things, I am troubled and I am bowed down greatly. That is, this trouble of his soul was pressing down upon him, bowing him. I go mourning all the day long, for my loins are filled with loathsome disease. There is no soundness in my flesh. Notice there in verse 8, I am feeble and sore broken. I am feeble and sore broken. He's broken. He's broken. Something that's broken needs to be repaired. May I say that there is nothing broken beyond God's repair. Oh, it may be way beyond man's repair. But there is nothing so broken that God cannot fix it. So I am feeble, that's weakness, and broken. In other words, I'm broken, I'm so feeble, I can't fix myself. This is where he was. Verse 17, I am ready to halt. My sorrow is continually before me. Sorrow is something that you feel. He says it's continually there. I go to bed at night, it's there. I fall asleep, but as soon as I wake up, there it is. Go through the day, there it is. And he came to the point where he says, I am ready to halt. I'm ready to give up. I'm ready to quit. Again, these are conditions that God's people find themselves in. And God is a God of comfort. Psalm 39, verse 10. He says, I am consumed by the blow of thine hand. Before that, he prayed that God would remove his stroke from him. I am consumed. Once again, there's nothing left. I am consumed. There are times when, again, I am consumed by the blow of thine hand. There are times when it is necessary. We have to get to this point. Broken. Consumed. And the God of all comfort is able. Notice in Psalm 40, verse 12. He says, innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities, that's his sins, have taken hold upon me. So that I am not able to look up. They, mine iniquities, are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore my heart faileth me. I am not able to look up. You tell people you need to pray. And I've heard it many times. I know that. But I'm in such a place that I don't even feel like praying. And I don't even feel like I can. We can get in that position. That's a horrible place to be. I am not able to look up. In that condition, the best thing you can do is groan. God interprets. God hears. He's the God of all comfort. Amen. I'm not able to look up. Someone says, well, I've never been in that position. I doubt that seriously. But even if it's so, it's real. I'm not able to look up. And when you're not able to look up, when you're not able to cry out to God, the mistake that people make in that condition is they cry out to a substitute. That's the worst thing you can do. You just keep groaning. And again, the Lord hears that. There's no replacement. Psalm 69:2, he says, I am come into deep waters. That means I'm in danger of drowning. I'm in danger of sinking. And we've run out of time. There's some more we'll look at next week. But you get this is encouraging, because when you get to feeling these different things, you know that David felt the same thing. And if God's people are honest, they've all felt the same thing. I am. I am not able to look up. But the God of all comfort comforteth us in all our tribulations. There's not a one of these conditions that is beyond the comfort of the Lord. Not one. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we again thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us the health, the ability to be in your house. We thank you even more than that, that you've given us the desire to be in your house. And we thank you, Lord, for each one that you've given that desire. We thank you, Lord, for each one that's here. Lord, we all have needs, and we know people that have needs. And Lord, we just pray that you would cause us to always realize that you're the God of all comfort. You're what we need at all times. Lord, we just pray that you would go with us today as we worship you, that you would manifest yourself to us, draw us closer to thee. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.